talking, cause you know we got some problems. So tune on in the way we talk and how to solve them. We may laugh, we may learn, we might be your games, Miss MP.
Hey, Ella.
Hi, how are you?
Good, how are you?
I'm good.
Thanks for coming on. Are you in Houston right now?
I am in Houston, yeah.
I know recently you had an injury. How are you feeling?
I actually like never really got hurt. It was more of like I had to redo a previous ACL reconstruction.
Okay. So, can you tell us about like how did they know that you had to redo it? Because I'm sure that's something that a lot of people are concerned about. I know when I tore my ACL, I feel like Carly, you were the same. Like you always felt like maybe something was wrong with it. How did you know that something was wrong, or how did they know?
Well, I got my ACL I tore my ACL when I was in college, back in, I want to say 2018. I got it redone. I was good for about a year, and then my knee started to shift and it hurt so badly, and I didn't know what it was. And at the time I think one of my first major shifts, I was like trying out with the Chicago Red Stars, and I actually thought that I tore a little bit of my meniscus. So I went home and I got a surgery, and this was also like during COVID time. So it was really hard for me to like get on a team in 2020. So I went home, I went into surgery, and they told me I didn't tear my meniscus. So I still kind of went through with the surgery. They cleaned out my ACL. I had a Cyclops, which is just like a ball of scar tissue sitting on your ACL. And I signed with the Rain. That was my first pro contract. And then my knee kept shifting. We didn't know what it was. It would affect my MCL. And then I got traded to the Dash. And at first it would shift maybe once a month, and it would take me about a month to recover, and then it would happen again. And then as time went on, it would happen maybe two times a month. And then it got to a point where it happened like two times in a day, and it was like my ACL was screwed in too vertical. So your ACL is supposed to be at a slant. And it was too vertical, so it would cause like shifting, and it was tearing my meniscus. So I just got to a point, and the medical staff at the Houston Dash didn't let me continue. They're like, listen, like we're gonna repair your meniscus, and we're gonna redo your ACL. So that's what I've been going through for the past 6-7 months.
That is wild.
I've never even heard about the shifting. That's got to be such an uncomfortable, weird, bizarre feeling.
I would be in training and I would just break down in tears. It was so mentally draining. It was very hard, but like I'm very happy that I ended, or like I stopped the season where I did, and I did the surgery. I really, the medical staff here was just like, no, like your meniscus is really torn. You could end up damaging your knee even worse than like getting your ACL redone or something like that. So, and I'm really happy I did my surgery here because we have one of the best surgeons in the nation. So
can you talk more about the mental side of that? Because I mean, you went through so much and for such a long time, it wasn't, you know, like you kept having this injury come back up. So can you talk about how you stayed positive and really kept going, because it must have been tough at times?
Yeah. I had this knee shifting going for about 3 years, and I honestly now thinking back, like I really don't know how I continued to be able to like put myself back together after it would shift. I mean, like I would like try and like suck up the tears and continue training, but like I honestly think it was just like the love of the sport and how much I loved soccer and how much I liked to compete that pushed me to like keep going. And I mean, it's like rarely you ever see an athlete like take themselves out of training. Like you have to be told like, no, you can't train today, or else like we're gonna train and we're gonna continue to put our body on the line. And like that's what I was doing. I ended up getting like, I got like 9 stitches in my meniscus, and like that's a pretty good amount of stitches to get in a meniscus. Like it's either you get like 1 or 2 or 3 or 4, or like they just kind of like cut that little part off. But it was very draining. And I, for the longest time, we didn't know why my knee was shifting. And thankfully last year, like the team here was able to figure it out and see that my ACL was not screwed in a right place that was working out for my knee. Like sometimes it works for other people, but it didn't work for my knee.
That must have made you play so hesitant at practice. Like if you were constantly bracing yourself for that to potentially be happening on every play and every tackle that you went in for, are you so excited for when you come back to like not have that hesitation in the back of your head?
Yeah. I mean, it would shift if I was like planting with my right, trying to kick with my left, if I was trying to like go into like 1v1 and just kind of like open up, if I was diving, if I like pushed off to like dive to my left, it would shift. But like, I haven't been good. Like I haven't been fully healthy in 4 years, and I've been in the NWSL for 3 years, and I am just so excited to be able to play in the NWSL as like my full self and be able to have like the full potential in front of me. And I am actually very excited to like have a good knee again.
I was just going to say, it's amazing because it's making you realize like, oh my gosh, I love soccer so much. I want to do the right recovery and do this right and get back into it. And like, be the best that you possibly could be, because you feel like you've been out of the game for so long. So do you have like any sort of game plan for your recovery? Are you going to try to take it slow? Is the team supporting you in your recovery process and making sure that you'll get back out there when you are ready?
Yeah. I think it was really hard last year to, like I said, I really wanted to finish the season. And at that time, I only had like 1 month left, but I ended up technically doing the surgery after season. I did it a week after our last our last playoff game. So, it was a really hard decision because I've been through an ACL before, and I knew that I was going to take myself out for that 9 month, 10 month, or however long it was going to take. But that was really hard for me. But now, I can't believe how fast time has gone by, because I came back into this season being at like 3-4 months. And then everything I feel like has just been happening really fast, like from the jogging to the passing. Like I'm actually pretty proud of myself. It was so crazy because I remember like 2 days ago, I couldn't hit a long ball. I was trying so hard to like lift the ball up. And then the next day, we did like a kind of like a competition to see if you can like land, like we were hitting long balls, and the person on the other side had to trap the ball and have it like land on a dot or like within 5 yards. And like, surprisingly, the next day after I couldn't hit a long ball, I was able to hit a long ball. And like, it's just so great to see how literally the next day could be a completely different day. It can go either way. It could be a great day, or like sometimes I wake up and like my knee is really sore, really stiff. And thankfully my medical staff is very welcoming to the idea of maybe like taking the day off, but like still doing some kind of strengthening stuff. But yeah, I do have to say that my entire team has been very supportive, and I'm at a point where I'm like, I would obviously love to get out there and play as fast as I can, but I'm gonna wait until like I really do feel comfortable to like be out there again. But yeah, I would have to say like everyone has been so supportive, and everybody just like myself is like, it's gone by so fast. Like I'm already coming up to my seven month mark. And I'm like it's amazing to see the progression of everything.
It's so good you have that mindset too. Now you're just like, you don't want to rush it because you have put so, you've invested so much.
Yeah.
Having everything. So it's great. You're like at peace with that. And you're like, I want to feel fully ready. Cause so often we come back too quickly and that's when we get hurt. Yeah. And you've gone through such a roller coaster with it. So
mm-hmm.
it's so nice when you're out there and you're like 100% and ready to go.
Yeah, for sure. I don't really want to rush it, but the day I can be out there and participate in like a full training or dress for a game or even playing a game, like it's going to feel so good. And it's going to feel like the surgery and like waiting and the process behind it was all worth it.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Was there any, I know you said your teammates were so good throughout it. Was there any teammates in particular that really helped you get through it?
Probably my roommate. My roommate has also been through an ACL before, and Emily Ogle. Oh, Curran. She got married in the off season. She's been really great, and I also think that like everyone like really does a good job checking in. Like the team, the girls. They're very helpful in that process. So,
that's a good feeling.
Yeah.
I think a lot of injured people are worried, like, all right, I'm out of sight, out of mind. I'm in the training room. Like my team's going to kind of forget about me or forget about how I'm feeling. So it's nice to have teammates who support you and check in.
Yeah, I definitely think my teammates have been very good with not letting us feel super separated from the team. They like totally understand what all the girls, like all the injured girls are going through. Because I mean, at one point they have also been there, unfortunately.
Everyone's been there probably at some point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Is there anything off the field that you were doing during this time? Like, were you watching more soccer or like anything that you did more of because you couldn't be on the field?
Honestly, no. I think I really just kind of, especially in the off season, I went home to California. And I did a whole lot of nothing. Like it actually felt really good. I would go to PT in the morning and I would come home and just like spend the time with my family. And that was actually really nice. And I feel like I'm kind of like within like my medical staff, I'm kind of known to be like a sweller. So like I really didn't do a lot of stuff. I took it pretty easy. And I don't think I would have wanted to do it like any other way. I'm not happy, but like, I feel like I've been able to spend time with my family a lot more, than I would have been able to if I was fully able to participate in full training. I was able to fly home a couple of times in the beginning of season because my grandpa was really sick, and unfortunately he ended up passing, and the injury allowed me to have the time to go home and like spend time with my family. So that was like pretty much what I was doing. I was taking it easy and I was spending time with my family and living away from my family, and obviously like playing soccer in college. Like I didn't really get to like be with my family that much. Like we were pretty much like at school or like we're here. So, and like, yeah, I was just happy I was able to really take it easy and like not do much, which I mean sounds kind of funny, but I like it.
Isn't it weird?
Sorry, Alana.
I was gonna say, isn't it weird how like sometimes the timing of things, it just lines up, and it's like, yeah, if you were healthy and you were on the grind and training every day, that's an important thing with your family and an important part of your life that you can't trade that time back for anything. So yeah, take the rest as you should, and take the time off to do things like go and see family and normalize shutting down and like taking time for yourself and not trying to fill every minute with productivity, you know, when it's a time mm-hmm. when you're supposed to be rebuilding and resting. I'm really sorry to hear about your grandfather, okay. but
thank you.
Yeah, the timing, sometimes it's like a little weird little blessing in disguise.
Yeah, I do have to say, I think I really stuck with everything happens for a reason when I tore my ACL the first time, because that was my fifth year of college. So I ended up redshirting that year and I came back the next year. So it was my sixth year of college and my team actually made the final four. So like that has never been done in Washington State history. And if I didn't tear my ACL, I wouldn't have been able to even participate in a final four. And I really just kind of stuck with like everything happens for a reason. And I think that's just the motto I go by. And I try to keep it with this ACL recovery too. So definitely.
Such a good mindset. And I know for me personally, I think I became a better player after my injury because it made me like miss the game so much and reappreciate it. Mm-hmm. So it's like, you never know, like this could be an amazing opportunity to like rebuild and get back into it. And I know we're harping on it just because so many players like are injured right now mm-hmm. and who are listening and need to hear this advice. But the other thing about the downtime I wanted to ask you about is, did you learn anything about yourself? Like, did you like find, other than spending time with your family, did you like find new passions or hobbies that you took up that was non-soccer related?
Honestly, probably reading. I know that a lot of people have kind of like, at least I think like my friend group or like the team has really just kind of like, I don't know if they were readers before, but like I think it definitely became like way more apparent to me. Like I have kind of like picked up to read a little bit more. I honestly like I thrift a lot. It's just like I do that a lot too. So that was probably reading, and probably thrifting was like something that I would spend time doing a lot, whether it was like with my mom or like I'll just go out by myself. And I really do like to thrift.
Are you going to continue doing that to keep that like soccer life balance? Because I know as a professional athlete, it's probably so hard to keep that balance, especially when you're like full throttle training all the time. But just having that balance is probably so good for your mental health to continue doing the things that you love that aren't soccer related.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I for sure should. Like it's also just so easy to just get home and veg out on the couch and like not do anything. But I know that those things are definitely good for the balance, like you said. I need to continue to do that when I am like fully into training and able to participate with the team.
You mentioned that you were in college for six years, so you must have liked college.
I loved it.
Can you tell us about your experience there? Like, did you know at a young age you wanted to go there? Like, what stuck out to you during the recruiting process about Washington State?
I think when I was going through the recruiting process, honestly, Washington State wasn't really on my radar. They emailed me. And I knew I kind of wanted to stay in the Pac-12 and maybe even like a little bit on the, like closer on the West Coast. I mean, obviously the Pac-12 is in the West Coast, but, or majority of it. But I remember I went on an unofficial visit there and I remember it so clearly. It was so cold, but it was very sunny and it was very much a college town. And when I came in to my unofficial visit, I remember like the rolling hills of Pullman were like, they were so green. And I remember the team was like super inviting and everybody was really sweet. And that was probably what made me decide to go to Washington State. I liked the college town of it. But yeah, I redshirted my freshman year. And then tore my ACL my fifth year. So got a red shirt that year. But yeah, that's why I was in college for 6 years.
What, like looking back, what was your favorite part about playing there?
What was my favorite part? I think I really loved the home game vibes. Like from like waking up in the morning and going to class, knowing that it was game day was a lot of fun. I created, like towards the end of the year, I created some like game day rituals that I would do with my team. I would have to say, like, even all of the, also our field was just amazing. Like, we have a great field. And I remember Todd Schulenberger, my coach at the time, he's still there. He always made it difficult for teams coming in, and he would have the band playing every game. It didn't matter. All game too. And like, they were very annoying during corner kicks and goal kicks for the opposing team. But I think just like the vibes on game day was the best.
I love that answer. Also very cool that the band played at your games. Mm-hmm. I mean, they play at the football, the basketball. Why can't they play at the women's soccer?
Yeah. Yeah. And then I think even when we got into like playoff time, I don't even know. I think like maybe we had like the WSU cheer team out there. Like, I think that was one of the, I think we did that 1 year. I could also be totally wrong.
That's fun. And you mentioned rituals, like game day rituals. What, like, did you guys eat at the same spot, or like what did you do
on game? Yeah, we would always go to Dutch Bros and I would always get one of those like Red Bull with a flavor in it, and that was just always something we would do. We lived right on the border of Idaho. We're like maybe like 10 minutes to Idaho, and me and some of my best friends would always drive across and go to Dutch Bros and get a like a Red Bull soda, and it was like, it was so much fun.
That's fun. That's awesome. I love that. Mm-hmm. What advice do you have for anyone who wants to play there or to play professionally? Like any younger players who are in high school or middle school listening, who want to play in college or play professionally after? Do you have like a piece of advice you would give them?
I feel like anybody's path into the NWSL can be different. And just because your path doesn't look like everyone else's, it still can totally happen. I think of Bethany Balser, who didn't play in D1, and she is amazing in the NWSL. And just because you didn't get drafted or you didn't play in like one of the top teams doesn't mean that like you can't make it. You literally just play hard and believe in yourself.
I feel like everyone that we talk to just continues to prove that point exactly. Every person has a different story. Some of them stick with the team that they started playing with from the beginning. Yeah. Some change 5 different teams in 5 years. And
yeah,
the day you get to where you're going. And yeah, the right word. I love that.
Yeah.
What did it feel like entering the pros from college? Was that like a big step for you mentally? Did it feel like an intimidating sort of next step, or were you just like 100% steam forward ahead?
I don't know. I honestly think that this sounds weird, but I don't think a lot of people enters into the NWSL like how I did. I literally took a year off of soccer. Like, it just happened that way because of COVID and Challenge Cup, the 2020 Challenge Cup. Mm-hmm. And I got a surgery that year. I got a job that year. I was a senior caretaker. And I got in like a couple trainings. It was really hard to get in with people who was like doing personal trainings. And thankfully, my club, Real SoCal, I was able to kind of like go out with a keeper trainer after my surgery. And then I trained with the Rain one summer, like 2 years before I tried out at the Rain. And my college coach reached out to Sam Lady, my current head coach now, and was like, hey, can like Ella come and try out? she needs a team to get on. And he's like, oh yeah, like have her come out. And I tried out and I was a trialist, and that was how I got my first professional contract. And I remember all of the girls at the Rain were so nice, so welcoming. They really kind of like blurred the line, I think, between rookie and vet, and it made a very cohesive group. So I think coming on to the team, it was an easy process. They made you know and feel that like you were wanted there, and I think that was really great. So
that's such a game changer when teams do that for new players. It makes you feel so much more ease, and it makes you play better. It makes the team better. It's just like only everyone could, you know, do that and make people feel that way. So
yeah, I agree.
Hopefully more and more people hear that and do it themselves. But I love mm-hmm. that.
Yeah.
All right, guys. Should we finish with some rapid fire?
Let's do it.
So first one, what's your coffee order? Your go-to?
If we're going to Starbucks, it's that brown sugar oat milk shaken espresso, no cinnamon.
Cheese and rice, that sounds good.
No cinnamon? Anti-cinnamon?
Yeah. I mean, I do like cinnamon, but wow. With that drink, I've kind of gotten it, and it's like been very overpowering.
That sounds good. I want to get that now.
Wait, so if it wasn't Starbucks?
If it wasn't Starbucks, it would probably just be like iced coffee with like a splash of oat milk and sugar-free vanilla.
What's your favorite drill at practice?
My favorite drill? I love a good flying changes.
Last week, I think someone else said that.
Yeah,
I love flying changes. Or like, honestly, any shooting drill. As a keeper, I also love 5v5, like a small 5v5.
With the big nets.
With the big nets, yes. With Mingle.
That is why I love that.
What's your favorite book?
My favorite book, Yerba Buena. I just read it last year, and I have to say it's a really good mix of, it's like a romance, but I also have a lot of like weird connections with it, with like some of, like one of the girls' lives is like placed in California. So like they talk about Topanga Canyon and Malibu, and like those are all places I would hang out when I was younger. So it was, and I also think it's a great book.
Wait, what is it called?
Yerba Buena.
Never heard of it. I gotta read it.
Yeah.
Good luck spelling that one out.
Yeah.
I don't know how I'm going to find it, but I'll.
It's like yerba mate, like the T, like Y-E-R-B-A, Buena, B-U-E-N-A.
I was off. I found it.
What's your favorite movie?
Okay. I am not like I can't rewatch a lot of stuff. I just don't like knowing that there's gonna be like, I know what is gonna happen next.
There are two types of people.
We're so different.
You're the opposite, because I can watch.
Yeah, you love rewatching. I'm now on the same team, Ella. I like don't want to watch it already. Like,
yeah.
I've never seen it. Maybe if it's like it's been a decade.
Yeah.
I don't have like a comfort movie anymore.
Like, you're telling me you won't watch Along Came Polly like I did yesterday.
Yeah.
For the 60th time.
No, because there's so many options. But I also spend like maybe 20 minutes trying to find a movie and then just give up. So yeah. Maybe I should. Yeah.
There was one movie I have rewatched, is The Great Gatsby.
Okay. Good choice.
I think that's a good movie. And I love the setting of the 1920s. And mm-hmm. I just think it's so glitz and glam, and I love it.
That is a really good one.
All right, so which actress would play you in a movie about yourself?
I have no idea.
Such a hard question.
I think maybe Blake Lively. You guys have similar hair.
I can see that.
Yeah.
Especially when she was the sister of the Traveling Pants.
Oh, yeah. She's, yeah.
I can see that. That's mine.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. We'll say Blake Lively.
If you had a sandwich named after you, what would be on it?
Well, I'm vegan, so it'd be just like a whole bunch of veggies.
Have you always been vegan, or is that more of a recent?
I went vegan, I want to say next month will be 8 years vegan.
Has that been challenging, like as an athlete, changing like your pregame and postgame and recovery meals and everything, or just have you been pretty honestly, easy?
Yeah, honestly, no. I think one of like the first summers, like obviously college workouts are like known to be hard in the summer. So I was having a very hard time to, like, I just would feel so tired halfway through, but I kind of figured out, I just need more carbs to like push me through. But yeah, my diet feels like how it is any other diet from other, like, diet. I mean, like, just like the way people eat. It's really just like a lifestyle now. That sounds so weird, but like, it really is. Like, it's like I go to the grocery store and I just buy what I need, and I don't really have trouble finding things.
Make new habits when you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Last question. What is your biggest soccer girl problem?
My biggest soccer girl problem. You know what? I have no idea why I'm saying this, but like a soccer girl problem I have is like when you kick a ball and like your thighs clap. Like that is so, I hate when that happens.
So true.
I hate
true.
When that no happens.
No one talks about that.
Wow. I've never gotten that. Oh my gosh. That's so true.
Yeah. And I just like every time it happens, I'm like, why was that so loud?
Like, if it sounds like a fart, it's even worse. It's like, this is embarrassing.
Hilarious. Yeah. Yeah. Wow. That's my biggest soccer girl problem.
Oh, that is a good, that might be my favorite answer yet. That's good.
Soccer, like I reel with that, with thigh claps. That's so.
Yeah. The thigh
claps. Hilarious. Well, Ella, thank you so much for coming on. It was great to get to know you. And we're so excited to see you back on the field in due time. When you're fully ready, we can't wait. Yep.
Thank you.
But we appreciate it, and we hope you have a great rest of the day.
Thank you. Thank you for inviting me on. It's been fun.
All right. Have a great day.
Have a great day.
Thank you. You too. Bye-bye.